there, and welcome to Here's a Thought, the blogcast for people who overthink. I'm your host, Jan M. Flynn, and I'm a writer, so for me, overthinking is part bad habit, part occupational hazard, and part inspiration. If you too find yourself besieged by the voices in your head, once a week, I invite you to take a break by listening to the ones in mine. This week, I'm thinking about what we think of as us, and by that I mean our physical selves, our bodies, is very different from what we assume. In a way, our bodies are more like icebergs, with the part that we think of as us above the water, but most of it underwater, unseen. It's a weird perspective, I know, but don't blame me. Blame science. And this is why science makes people nervous. It keeps coming at us with uncomfortable discoveries, things that jolt us out of our assumptions about ourselves, things that demand that we question the evidence of our senses. Like, the Earth is not the center of the universe. That's an oldie, but it's still tough for some of us to accept. Also, cave people did not ride dinosaurs, and the Earth is not flat. Otherwise, cats would have knocked everything off of it by now. More recently, scientists have been exploring the human microbiome, and I'm talking recently. The papers that report the final, complete human genome sequence didn't come along until 2022. Long story short, knowing what constitutes us in our bodies has allowed researchers to look further into what else we're composed of. And it turns out, there's a whole lot of what else. We've been colonized. Here's the deal. Only about a third of the cells in your body, or my body, or your favorite barista's body, are human. The rest of what you think of as you is a vast population of microscopic critters living in you and on you. I don't care how often you shower, or how assiduously you vacuum and do your laundry or brush your teeth. You, my friend, are mostly microbes. But don't take that the wrong way. Although, who could blame you if you did? Ever since humans figured out that such things as microbes existed, we've mostly been at war with them. Think microbe and you think disease, right? Pathogens responsible for uncounted human deaths. Smallpox, cholera, tuberculosis, MRSA. Kill the suckers. It's true that antibiotics and vaccines have saved lives, perhaps millions of lives. But we've also paid a price in vastly increased autoimmune diseases and allergies, according to some experts. Because not all of those little buggers riding around in us and on us are our enemies. Yes, it's weird to think that our bodies, especially our guts, are densely populated with bacteria, viruses, fungi, and archaea. But we couldn't live without them. Researchers are still figuring out exactly how our partnership with these wee critters work, but we do know they play crucial roles in digestion, immune system regulation, vitamin manufacturing, and disease protection. Really, it's a microbe's world. We just live here. Humanity is just a speck in the massively bacterial world. We need to get used to that idea. So writes Dr. Martin J. Blaser in his 2015 book, Missing Microbes. And I'm indebted to an American Museum of Natural History article by Ashton Applewhite, the polymath, anti-ageism activist, and author of This Chair Rocks, for pointing me to Dr. Blaser's work, and you'll find a link to her article in the show notes. Now, picture the tree of life. Next, picture it filled up mostly with microorganisms. So many, and of such astonishing variety, that two of the ones that are more familiar to us, E. coli and Clostridium, are far less closely related to one another than human beings are to corn. Kind of mind-blowing, isn't it? So if, as Dr. Blaser says, we are hosts to vast collections of microbial communities, ones that have evolved along with us to help us operate basic life processes from the moment we're born, it makes sense that they play a huge role in our health, and that disrupting that balance between them and us can cause trouble. Now, I'm not suggesting that we all stop taking antibiotics or getting vaccines. Personally, I'm all about getting every flu and COVID and, oh, please God, shingles shot that I'm offered. I'm old enough to remember the terror of polio and kids in iron lungs. As a little boy, my father nearly died from diphtheria, a disease that's now almost absent in American kids. Microbes are very powerful little beings. They deserve our respect, is all I'm saying. Maybe don't pester your doc for pills every time you get the sniffles. Give your flora a fighting chance first. But here's the upside. You're never alone. Not even close. You contain multitudes, literally. Think about that the next time you're stuck at a party or a conference where you don't know anyone. And if that doesn't help, allow me to introduce you to the very close friend you never knew you had. Demodex. Demodex are related to arachnids. They have eight legs. They don't live in your gut. They live on your skin. In particular, on your face. They're very teensy-tiny, between 0.15 millimeters and 0.4 millimeters. It would take a small dinner party of them to cover a pinhead. Some Demodex eat skin cells, but not so many that you'd miss them or have holes in your face or anything like that. Other Demodex eat sebum, the oily substance that your hair follicles secrete to protect your hair and skin. They spend the day cozily tucked up in your follicles or your pores, minding their own business and sipping on sebum or skin flakes. It's only at night that they emerge onto your surface to mate. Face mite orgies while you're sleeping, isn't that a fun thought? Then they crawl back into your pores, where they lay their eggs. And no, it doesn't matter how often or how well you scrub and exfoliate. You can't get rid of them, at least not all of them. And if you could, who knows? You might be plagued with skin overgrowth or sebum-filled whatevers. Under normal conditions, Demodex mites are no problem. Only in rare situations where something has caused them to multiply out of control. That could be whatever has seriously suppressed the immune system, maybe chemotherapy or immunosuppressive treatment. Anyway, in that case, it is possible to develop a particular itchy rash called demodicosis. But that hardly ever happens. Don't worry about it. You're welcome. Thanks for listening to this episode of Here's a Thought with Jan M. Flynn. If you find these snippets entertaining or useful, please leave a star rating or review on your podcast app. It really helps other folks find the show. Until next time, may your sense of yourself be ever expanding. May you be comfortable in your own skin, whatever else is in there with you. And may all your thoughts be good ones.